Okay, I want to start it this year the way I started the morning for the few people that were here. I want to start by saying, prophetically, Happy New Year. I want to start by saying that prophetically. Happy New Year. And the revelation I got this morning with that is people say it all the time. It means really nothing. Or it means something, Happy New Year. I don't know. I don't even know what it means. Like they're just saying a new year and it's happy. Or they're wishing you that your new year is happy. The revelation God gave me this morning was, it's a declaration for us. It shouldn't be just a phrase. So we're speaking happy, happy, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. It's the man whose God is the Lord. So happy for us should be the presence and the move of God on our life. New. Happy, fortunate, to be envied or enviable is the person whose God is the Lord. And new, meaning what it is now, should be different from what it was last year. Happy New Year. Born again, you are new. Old things have passed away. All things become new. I want to kind of poke on that for 2 seconds. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Happy, fortunate to be envied. New. Old things have passed away. All things become new. Yeah, I'm poking on this, but listen to what I'm saying to you. Old things have passed away. Some things become new. It is all. Are you believing that for this year, if you never believed it before, that all of the old is past and all has become new or shall become new or is become new or is being becoming new, whatever it is, wherever your faith can go. You know, but my point is, can we start to believe that everything is new in this happy new that we're speaking frivolously and without focus? I want us to acknowledge and say, all things, say it, are new for me right now. So that means all things passing away means you got to be willing to let go of all of the old of last year and even the value that you've ascribed to it or given to it. You have to be willing to let it go. God was speaking to me about Florida, and I was speaking to God about it, and of course, so he's speaking back to me. That's okay. I moved to Florida. He gave me all this stuff, but all my business and everything that's happening for me is happening in Pennsylvania. My heart is still on. I have not released that house that you showed me. And now I've got my studio set up again in the office, and that feels magnificent to just have my studio with me again. And I said, well, God, what? Little bro, you spoke it as I was leaving, and it confirmed what I knew. You remember what you said to me as I was leaving for Florida? It's temporary. He said it. And I said, it bears witness with me. So I was saying to God, okay, business is taking up, the magazines, fee is going through the roof, everything is happening for me over here. In Florida, it was like a break. It was a needed separation. But you haven't established anything for me there. I mean, how many times can I look at the palm trees and be excited? I mean, you understand? Like, what's going on there? And God dropped something in my spirit. He said, what if I told you, with all that beautiful furniture and everything, just to walk away and leave it? And I was like, I got a little practice in that. I'm getting good at walking away. If that's what I need to do and that's what you tell me to do, I can do that. Wear the garments of this world loosely, the old pastors used to say. If you say drop, it is dropped. He said, okay. And that's all he said. He didn't conclude. I said, I like it, but I don't need it. And you got me the furniture, that's such a deal. Whatever. I would like to keep some of it, but I know I could get better, 50 times better than just like I did when I went there. Now I'm speaking to you. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I'm asking us this year to be willing to let old things pass away and allow God to do all things new. Amen. Not fix what I got, make what I have a little easier to deal with. Can you better this a little bit more so that I can live with it? But God, give me what I need to have a happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable, old things past, all things new. Amen. Yeah. Now, let me tell you what's powerful about that. That means I get to do it again next year. But you got to be willing to let go of all things past to have all things new. I'm going to say that maybe two more times. You got to be willing to let go of all things past in order to receive all things new. Old things past, all things new. Old things past, all things new. So, I wanted to start this message with Happy New Year. I'm stepping into this year. Today is the second day of releasing all things past, things, situations, relations, people, experiences, some good, some bad, being willing to let it all go so that you can receive all things new. Amen. That's a tall order. So, before I take you to scripture, let's look at this a minute. The blessings of the Lord, I'm trying to remember which proverb it is, makes the man truly rich and he adds no sorrows with it. Is that Proverbs 23, something like that? The blessings of the Lord makes a man truly rich and he adds no sorrow with it. Is it 10:23? I don't know why. See, hey, bam, Proverbs 10:22. See, hey. Okay, now, I knew it was a 20-something in there. I was like, I keep seeing 10. Okay. I want us to accept, commit to, and believe. You're listening to me? That the blessing of the Lord makes us rich. And we're not just talking money. We're talking about spirit, heart, and hope. Can we accept that? Let's start with that. Can we accept that? A loud yes. Can we accept that?
Yes.
But then can we also accept, and this is one I'm really working through right now, because I'm dealing with emotional pains and things that are happening and people in my life and situations in my life and times in my life and making these adjustments, are you willing to admit or own, as it may be a better word, but let's take admit, own, and accept, you're listening? that adds no sorrows to it. Can we be bold enough to believe that in this happy, new, old things past year, that the blessings of the Lord will make me fulfilled or rich, and that sorrow should not be a part of the equation? Are we bold enough to believe that? See, that's a step now for me, a faith that I'm walking into, that I can now begin to look at people and situations, and if I see sorrow, begin to go, this is not God. If you're adding sorrow, and you're adding pain, and you're adding frustration, instead of me just accepting it as, well, oh well, you know, you got to take the good with the bad, the bitter with the sweet, and you know, sometimes you got to have some down, you got to have some rain to appreciate the sun, and all of these little cliches that we learn to accept pain as part of our God gift, struggle, lack, confusion, dismay, all of this kind of stuff, heartbrokenness, all these things that we've learned to accept. Can we be bold enough to say, I want to accept that he makes me blessed, rich, and adds no sorrow. So if there is sorrow, it's not from him. I'm not saying sorrow is not here in this world, but I am willing to say with all my heart, with a full commitment, this year going forward, any sorrow that exists is not from him, therefore I don't have to keep it.
Amen.
I don't have to say, oh, well, it is what it is. I have the right to say no thank you to sorrow. I have a right to say I refuse to sign for this package and accept it as mine, whether I like it or not. Because it's not from God, and if it's here and it's in my house, then I signed for it or I've accepted it, and or life has thrown it at me and I've caught it. And I've grieved with it, and I've mourned with it, and I've walked with it, but now I'm putting it down. And I'm saying it's not from God, and therefore I don't have to keep it. People have said hardships and hard times and sorrow comes from God. It's the way he makes you strong. It's the way he tests your faith. All these little cliches that have been taught through the church. Then I started reading up on his kingdom in heaven. And I saw there was no sorrow. And there's no tears. No crying, no grief, no mournings, no sickness, no disease, no lack. So this revelation comes to me. Then if God doesn't have that there, let's just kind of do a little natural reasoning here. Take it or leave it. I make the choice yours. You ready? If God doesn't have that there, where would he get it from to give it to us? Now, come and think about it. If I come to your house and I say, I need all the ingredients to make a pumpkin pie, and you say, I don't have pumpkins, I don't have flour, I don't have sugar, I don't have any of that stuff in my house, I don't eat that stuff, then you can't give it to me. You can say you can go to the store down the block and get that, but I can't help you. It's not that I don't want to give it to you. It's that I don't have it to give it to you. So if God has none of these things in heaven, how could he possibly give it to you for your betterment or worse? He doesn't have it. Where would he get sickness from to share with you. In order for you to give me the ingredients I need to make this pumpkin pie, you would either have to send me somewhere else, or you yourself would have to go and borrow it or get it from somebody and come and give it to me. So since there's no sickness and no sorrow and no suffering and no pain and no disease in heaven, God would have to go knock on Satan's door, borrow it, to come give to you. But that is what the church has taught for years. Sometimes he allows Satan . We know better than that in this house because I've taught it. But I want to start this year by saying, all things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. If we can, right now, this year, this time, this stand of faith, begin to say, God, I am willing to trust and believe that in this happy, blessed, fortunate to be envied, new, old things have passed, all things have changed, year, that I'm willing to be bold enough and to take the dare to believe that you want nothing for me but good, and that anything that comes that's not good is not from you, and anyone who comes that's not good is not from you, and any situation offered to me that's not good is not from you, and I refuse to accept or be willing to believe that it is my lot in life to accept anything that doesn't come from you. Let me just say this to you, saints. That takes courage. That takes faith. That ain't hearing me say this today and go, ooh, I just got to, ooh, I see that. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah. No, but now you got to walk out your salvation in trembling and fear now with that, because that is salvation. You now being delivered from bondage to freedom, and now you got to walk that out. The enemy ain't just going to say, oh, yeah, fine, now I'm going to leave you alone then, since you said you believe in that. I ain't going to bring no suffering to you. And, you know, okay, well, okay, fine with me. No, he's going to do whatever he can to thwart that. That's his job. Because it didn't say it doesn't come. He didn't say it doesn't exist. He said it's not from God. That's the thing I'm saying. I'm not saying it doesn't come. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm saying it's not from God. 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 Be not confused. God is not mocked, the book of James chapter 1 says. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, where there's no variation or shadow of turning. He said, do not be confused. Don't be deceived into believing that God switches from side to side. Only good and perfect gifts come from me. And I don't change, not even a shadow. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm saying. God is not the accuser of the brethren. The guilt and shame that you're walking around with and feeling in yourself is not from him. Every good and perfect gift. Only goodness and mercy should follow me all the days of my life. Psalms 23. I'm trying to say that we've accepted a lot of things in our bundles that don't belong to us, but we felt we had no choice but to take and keep things that God never sanctioned. So we stayed in situations, we stayed in circumstances, we stayed on jobs, we stayed dealing with things and thoughts and agonies and beliefs. And every time something goes wrong in your life, you got to beat yourself up and shame yourself and put yourself down. It must be, God must be letting this happen because there's sin. And Fontaine says something last week that was powerful, but I heard a lot. He said a lot of stuff that was powerful. But one thing he said that was super powerful that spoke to me. I don't know about you guys. I know it spoke to me because my name was in it. It's because my name was in it. It made it super powerful. I don't know if you'll remember this, but he said, I struggled to see the blessing and the move of God. And I was trying to understand why things wasn't working. And Pop was just prospering, and I could see flaws in him. And he said, well, I'm of the understanding that it doesn't make a difference to me whether I'm good or bad. God's love for me is consistent. I'm going to work out this stuff, but I'm going to prosper anyway because he wants it that way. And he said, "And see, your man missed that, but go listen back. He said it. And he said it hit him like, yeah, can't be. I got to fix all of this. But he said, but Pop had this understanding that it's mine because every good and perfect gift, blessing the Lord makes me truly rich and adds no sorrow. I may not be in the place to receive all the richness I need because my spirit and my mind and my conversation ain't right yet, but he still makes.
Amen.
But he still makes. Now, I need to be in the place to receive it, but he still makes truly rich and has no sorrow. I may be receiving a lot of sorrow, but he makes truly rich and doesn't add it. I may be in a place that I'm receiving a lot of crap that I shouldn't be receiving, but he still makes truly rich and adds no sorrow. It's still there. The package is in front of the door. I just need to go sign for it. Sometimes he brings it and puts it right there in your house and you don't open it because you're going through what you think you deserve because, you know I ain't as good as I could be. And God said, if anything was based on you and how good you could be, you wouldn't get anything. You can't be. That's why Jesus died for you. Now you walk it out. So when I say walk out your salvation or work out your salvation in trembling and fear, that means being very careful and painstaking. That not be terrified. Oh my God, what should I do? Oh my God, I don't want to go to hell. Oh my God. No, that's not the trembling and fear he's talking about. He's saying being very meticulous and very mindful of what's from me and what's not. Holiness is from me. Weakness is not. You can choose either one and walk in them. Being prosperous, being poor. Being poor is not for me, but you still mine even if you choose to walk in poverty. Being sick and diseased from the top of your head to sole of your feet, never my plan for you, but you're welcome to walk in it. And you can still come into heaven with this lung giving out and that eye failing and that knee going out and 15 surgeries. You can still come. But that's not my choice for you. I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I had to come to a revelation. In this bold stand I'm taking at this time of my life, even my death is a choice. I just messed up every church person in this room and online right now. Am I wrong? I lay before you life and death. Choose. We get caught up in the blessing and cursing part. Life and death is right there. How you want to leave this planet? I've had somebody say to me, you got to be sick to die. I'm like, no, you don't have to. You can just lay down and check out or stand up and check out. Let them find you standing somewhere. But see, this kind of stuff I'm talking about, it takes some doing, man. It takes some standing. It takes some resisting. It takes some unlearning. It takes some desire to say, God, I'm going to see you for the blessing you promised, regardless of what the world says to me and what situation around me say and what I've learned in church my whole life. I know that he said, it's the letter that killeth, the spirit gives life. And I know that there's things in life that keep you in bondage. That's scriptural that you've allowed and received it as bondage. So I'm always no good, and I'm always trying to prove it, but I'm always going to keep messing up, so I'm never going to be good enough. So therefore, the blessings never really truly belong to me, and people believe that. And what Fontaine was standing up here saying was, I looked at him, and I saw him going, I'm going to be blessed anyway. Well, you know why? I was where I was when he heard me say that, and he saw that in me. Little bro, you was in my life when I was going through some stuff and I was poor all the time, no matter what I did wasn't working. I was such a good Christian. I don't think I'm as good a Christian now as I was then. I'm doing much better. Because I stopped making it about what I thought should be happening to me and asking God, God, what are you saying should be happening to me? And I started receiving that. So when he heard me say that, but I'm supposed to be blessed anyway because I'm his child, that one scripture changed my life. One scripture. Which one of you, if your son asks you for an egg, would give him a rock? And if he asks you for a fish, would you give him a serpent? And if you, being of an evil nation, an evil person, would do good things for your child, how much more? And I was like, you know, my kids have done some stuff that made me just, I don't know what I wanted to do with them at times, but I know what I did. I kept a roof over their head. I kept food in their belly. I made sure they went to school so they can get an education. And anytime they would listen to me long enough, I coached them and counseled them in the way to be successful. You didn't hear what I just said. I'm going to let you think about that a minute. I'm going to walk around the pulpit twice and just let you meditate on what I just said right there. Because God said, listen, no matter what you do or don't do, I'm here. Straight A's, all D's. I'm still here. I'm going to lecture you. I'm going to feed you, though. And I'm going to keep a roof over your head. Because I would do that for my kid as an evil man. And how would I believe, because I didn't do everything right, that God would let me starve? If so, I'm a better father than God. Because no matter what my kids did, I'm going to feed them. And there are laws that ensure that I do. Up until a certain age, I don't care what their grades are, you got to feed them. And even though people get mad at the laws about, you know, child abuse and everything's child abuse. Oh, you yelled at them too loud. It's child abuse. Oh, you can't put your hand. You can't even spank. I'm going to spank my kid. Listen, I come from that generation. I got my age spanked and I spanked mine. I get it. But putting that law in its right strength, in its context, I get it and I see it and I believe it. And here's what it is. God don't go around beating us every time we do something wrong. So we shouldn't be doing it to our kids. And God don't chastise and come down on us and call all kind of dumb mother effers because we don't get stuff right. And we shouldn't be doing it to our kids. It is abuse. It absolutely is abuse. That your first line of action whenever your kids does something wrong is to reach for the belt. Are you listening to me? It's abuse. You can't talk first. You can't reason first. You can't teach first. You can't instruct first. That their first line of defense whenever a child does wrong is to want to discipline them harshly. Yes, it's abuse, because God wouldn't do that. And we believe that God does, a lot of us. I don't know, we meaning me. A lot of people do believe that God's first line of defense is to whip. I'm going to whip your natural black egg. You just wait till we get in this house. I came to the realization, being an abused child, that God didn't want to abuse me, that God didn't want to beat me. You got beat up enough as a kid, punched in the face, knocked down, handcuffed to the radiator and whipped for 45 minutes. You don't need no beating. You need some direction, and I'm here to give that to you. And I accepted that. So when I said to Fontaine at that time, when he said it to me, I remembered the conversation. And I was like, I don't know what you're saying. I know this. God want me blessed. And he's going to make sure I am, no matter what my shortcomings are. We're going to work on, if I start saying, I don't care, I'm going to stay in my shortcomings, that I might wind up reaping something that I don't want to reap and shouldn't reap. But again, it don't come from him. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The blessing of the Lord makes truly rich, adds no sorrow. So it's not from him. I open the door for the enemy to bring in stuff that I shouldn't have. But I still know it ain't him. And I know that immediately once I line up with him, he removes that. Why? Because he loves me. Duh. But ready for this? You ready? Now, I didn't even get to no verse. Well, I am pulling up all my verses. I just didn't open the books. But you're just going to have to do your own research. He loves me. Who agrees with that? God takes care of me because he loves me. Who agrees with that? Okay. So let me ask you the next question. What is this love like? Is it okay? Decent? Scale of 1 to 10. Would we give him more than a 10? So he loves us. And from what you're saying, in a score from 1 to 10, you would go above 10. So that means he loves us perfectly. Yes? His love for us then is perfect. Right? And perfect love casts out all fear. So then God don't want us living in fear of his perfect love. So I stopped believing that God wanted me punished. I stopped believing that God was looking for an opportunity to get me. I stopped believing that God saw me and was disgusted with me, even in my worst places. I believed that he wanted to sit me down and say, son, let me show you how you don't have to keep doing this now. I'm going to help you, but I'm going to need you to stay before me. And there's some things your favor is going to be strong, and I'm going to snatch you right out of. But there's some things I'm going to have to walk you through and walk with you till you get it. And you're going to make a mistake and you're going to hang and go, oh, God, I'm sorry. He's going to say, we don't have time for all of that. Get back up. Let's go. We need to keep walking. But I just need to sit here and I want to fold my legs in Indian style. And I just want to just feel so bad. And God's like, we really don't have time for that. My perfect love doesn't want you walking in that. Can we please keep going forward? Did Fontaine not say that? Keep going forward, even in the midst of it. But he said, look at your thought process. So I'm here to be more detailed. You can put these two messages together as a series if you want. I'm saying to you, when he's saying examine what your thought process is, what he's saying is this. If you think you should be punished, then you will be, not because he's doing it, but because you're punishing yourself. You believe it, and you open the door for the enemy to carry it out because you believe it. If you think God is not letting you into your blessings because there's something that you just don't have perfect yet, then according to your faith, be it unto you. I do know that me not being prepared for a blessing will make me miss it. But I don't even see that as punishment. I see that just as lack of preparation. He would not allow you to be tested above that which you are able. That means not more wealth or more failure. He said it perfectly. He said, your mouth speaking. He said, Pop could speak these things and he would get it. And I would speak these things and I didn't get it. And then I had to come to the realization that God had to keep telling me, watch your mouth. Well, I've said that one time to you. I said it a million. Well, I did wash my mouth. I speak positive. You do? Yeah. And your fruit? What do you mean, my fruit? Well, I'm saving for a rainy day in case something go wrong. I thought you were speaking positive. I am. What did you just say? I don't mind you saving, but why are you saving for a rainy day? Why don't you save for a sunny day? I save so I have money to do stuff when I want to do it, not in case it go bad or wrong. I ain't saving for rain. I'm saving for sun. It's going to be a nice day. I'm going to be able to use some of this money. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good year. And I'm going to have what I need to do in this year because I saved for it. I ain't saving in case they lay me off. I'm saving so that I have it, whether they lay me off or not, I'm still good. It's not going to be my panic fund. It's my life fun. My fun life. Am I helping somebody? Happy New Year. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the person whose God is the Lord. New. All things have passed away. Old things have passed. All things become new this year. This is the year of phenomenal, great, abundant, whatever word you want to put in front of that, opportunities. It always has been that year. It has never not been that year. So don't think because I spoke it, that made this year that year. It's always been that year. But getting people to walk to and giving people words to awaken them enough to step into that year is a whole different thing. Every year, all things have passed away. All things become new. Every year, every day, his mercies are new every morning. God's always new. We get into the old. I've been walking around for the past couple of years, literally with an evil foreboding hanging over my head, and stopped it with this revelation. When I hit 60, friends, family, strangers on the news, recording artists, everywhere I looked was dropping off. What age? 58, 59, 60. 61 was kind of like, no, you don't, that, yeah, that's, you know, everybody dies there. Then they start saying, Corona, oh, people in the 60s, whew, you ain't going to make it. You're definitely going to need a respirator or something if you get it. Well, I got it in my 60s, 62. Look at me. I'm strong. I ain't never had no this kind of surgery, no prostate that, no tumor this, no one leg short than the other that, none of this stuff. Because I said, God, I believe with health, with long life, should I serve you? That if I seek you, according to Proverbs chapter 8, wealth and honor in one hand and long life in the other. And that long life is health. That ain't long life in pain. It's long life. If you look up the word life, it's talking about a life worth living, fulfillment. Not, oh, he lived a long life in his wheelchair and all his tubes going up his butt and everything. Keep that. But God said, you've been having this fear since you turn in your late 50s or 60s of, well, any day now, it could happen. I'm going to be healthy. But I don't know how many more years I got. And just what Fontaine said, God says, stop telling, saying pain in the butt. God got me toward the end of this year and said to me, I really need you to stop saying that. Stop looking at these news reports every time you see somebody die and go, whew, that's close to home. I need you to stop saying that. Okay? Life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. This is why I'm having this conversation with you today. He said, you can choose life, son. Tell me what you want. How many years you want? I said, well, God, I don't mind being in my 80s if I'm still like I am right now and I'm just bouncing around, popping. I ain't nowhere near 60. I'm healthier than a lot of you folk that's younger. I'm young. I'm healthy. Better looking than I've been. I found a picture of me the other night. And I looked at the picture and I was like, I don't know. It was a picture with me and Jason way back. Well, I first moved to the Pocono. So we talking about like 97, 98. And I looked at the picture and I was like, Dag, I'm smaller, but I'm still shaped like a ball. Like, I don't have no figure at all. Like, this doesn't even look like my body. Like, who is that? And I went, wow, I'm going to show you that picture. I'm going to show you. And I'm like, wow, that doesn't even look like my, I can see kind of that's my face, but that body doesn't even look resemble. It has no, it's just this. I wasn't even really fat. It just was shapeless. It had no curves. It was just bleh, bleh. there you are. A blob of paint splashed up on the thing. And I said, well, God, I look better now. He said, because you begin to speak over yourself then that you want to be fit. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And those who indulge it eat the fruit. So God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be new. And he wants you to be new right now, this year. Start right now. And he wants you to believe that the blessings of the Lord make you rich and there's no such thing sorrow for you. And he wants you to believe that. He wants you to believe that the sorrow that comes, he didn't add it. And so if he didn't add it, then you can freely give it to him to take it away. You don't have to receive it. But how do you do that with all the evil in the world? So now you're trying to find a way to keep it. And you're welcome to. And I got some for you if you want it. I'm taking a bold declaration this year that this year, my year will not be filled with sorrow. I'm not keeping it. I'm not keeping it, and I'm not keeping anything, and I'm not keeping anyone in any situation that adds sorrow. Not doing it. Not doing it. But that's, I have people say this, but you know, family, you know, that's what comes, and this family, da, da, da. Like, oh, Jesus said, who are my mother and brethren? Those who hear the word of my Father and do it, them and them only. Yeah, you're still family. I'm never going to disown you as family, but I can disown you as being in my circumference to do stuff to me, to bring grief and misery and sadness to me and sorrow to me. I can keep you out of my immediate circle. This is it. Happy New Year. And then once I get that down, then I'm going to start saying Happy New Day. I'm not even going to do months. I'm going from years straight to days, that every day I want to expect God to do something greater than he did the day before, because it's new every morning. He makes me rich and he adds no sorrows to it. In Jesus' name, amen.